Let us begin. So we're up to Tochin. We're actually making good progress through the Malachos. And the next Malacha that we're at is, on the one hand, like the basic, part of it is pretty straightforward, right? Grinding. Take something, grind it up into little pieces. Sounds so far so good. The main sugya is actually about the interesting case of dak. So just before we get there, right, the basic malacha we can understand, right? You take something, you grind it up into little pieces, right? And that's a malacha, right? Two reasons why we could see it as a malacha: actual, regular, good old-fashioned grinding. Yeah, Rachel.
In terms of something like flour, you really created something else that can be used in a very completely different purpose.
Right, exactly. Totally transformative. Right, it's transformative. It's just, you made something new. Any of you chemistry? No one's a chemistry major, but chemistry, like when you powder something, it just has different chemical properties than a solid, right? It's just true, just the extra surface area really just changes the way it works. And you transformed it. And not only have you transformed it practically, like, oh, now it's small and you can do certain other things with it, it really just has different chemical properties. It really just acts totally different. And yeah, that's exactly sufficient to, right? You transformed this object. You made a new object from, you had A and now you have something B with different properties and different functions, and you can do different things with it. That's totally transformative. That's a malacha. Amazing, right? That's one option. And the other way to look at it, which is like the little more technical side, is that, right, it's just very significant also in the process of making bread. So again, gets into the question of like significance, but you can frame it a little more in the fact that if you want to make bread, then you need to grind the wheat and do that processing. But also again, that's right, it's you've transformed it, and also it's this critical stage in the process of making food. Okay. We will see that there's like a difference between those two, not in actual regular tochin, because that's pretty straightforward, right? You ground it up, and that's, once you do that, that seems to be a ma'aseh malacha, regardless of exactly why you're doing it. But in the, some interesting cases further on. So now, the next case that we're going to deal with is the case that the Gemara really emphasizes, which is cutting something up, dak, or what comes up in the Rishonim a lot. Okay, so we'll already just started on the Aron Koros. The Gemara, the Gemara says, right, Tochin, Amar of Papa. So the Gemara, right, the Mishnah said Tochin. The Gemara kind of jumps straight from Tochin to this interesting case of Paris Silka, Chayv Mishum Tochin. Amar of Menashe, my high man, this solid silty, Chayv Mishum Tochin, Amar Vashi, E. Kapit, right, a Mishchasa. If you're also very makbid on exact sizes, you'd also be over the malach of mechatech. But otherwise, these cases of cutting something very small seem to be tochin. So Rashi says, "Parim silka bimem v'lo b'samech." Okay, kedeparash ba'or v'arotev my kipa pirma minzer blaz lachtoch lechatichos ktanos mechato hadek. Right, cutting something very small is within. Is part of tochin. Right? Tosos also, right? Lolam limalacha. The knivas yark the brisa hainu she'osin dak heavy iser dorais. If you cut something dak, very small, right? That is a malacha and is part of the dami l'tochin, and that's a malacha. Okay, so the let's stick with Rashi and Tosos right now. Why should that be? Why would we consider that to be a malacha? Right, it's a little harder. Right? If I cut something very small, like why should that be considered a malacha? What's so transformative about cutting something into like little pieces?
If I can find something, I turn it away from like a solid into a powder. It would be a little bit different. Are different.
Hold it.
Hey, your audio is kind of off right now.
Oh, no.
Oh, now we're...
Okay, sorry. That's very sorry. I don't know why that keeps happening. We have to look into that. Sorry. Okay, yeah, so sorry. I'll say it again. When you do, when you grind something into a powder, right, we understand its transformative nature. Why should we be mechayiv you for cutting something into very small pieces, right? Now, just in general, when we think about malachos, right, we have two sort of parameters that we generally look at. What are our two general parameters that we can use to be mechayiv you, or we can use to evaluate whether something should be considered part of the malacha? Like my brother-in-law likes to call it like Hakir number one. He has like a list of like all like the famous Hakirs. Yeah, Ari.
Maisa Totsa.
Exactly, right? Maisa Totsa. Either you did the Maisa of the Malacha, or the Totsa is so similar that it counts as the same as, you know, the Malacha. Right? In this case, it doesn't seem to have to be the same Maisa, right? I don't know would you consider cutting something into small pieces, the same maisa as grinding something? I don't think so. And in terms of the totsa, at first glance, I would also assume that it's different, right? One creates a powder. One transforms the physical object into something new. And here, they're smaller pieces, very much smaller pieces. But at the end of the day, like, it's so clear that it's a cucumber, right? A classic example of the dak-dak is like, you know, people cut the cucumber into like tiny little pieces. So it's still a cucumber. It's a smaller cucumber, right? It's very small cucumber. Some of those Israeli salads are like really tiny cucumbers, but they haven't pureed it. So it's not like something new. So let's chat. So the first answer or the first approach is to say that it's wrong, right? It's always like a good, I guess, like not really such a good option for explaining, but it's a good way of dealing with these issues. The Rush basically says that just doesn't make sense. Pirshu nechanano, atze dekolim she'omdim shivi, ke'in nimin, she'kishemifarek ha'nimin halalu yoti mi b'nem kimo kemach dak, lefikach ha'minaf tzochayiv mishum tochen. So he says, if you like on a lulav, when you like pull apart the leaves, there's that like powder that goes everywhere. So he says, it's basically like that. Like you have this powder inside, and when you break them apart, it like, you know, it knocks off this powder. So you get little tiny pieces of powder. You've created a powder, right? Dimya desala silti. Umashi pirish rashi depara silka shemechata chiyarkos dak dak. Pirish tamuahu. Right? It's mind-boggling. Dabar shuhu ochel umechata chosod dak dak in shayach beitchina. He says, if it's food and you're cutting it into smaller pieces, so it's still food, and now just food in smaller pieces, right? Nothing transformative has happened. The cucumber hasn't changed. So why the whole vor is that when you grind something, you turn it into a powder. But what have you done, says the Rush. So he says it's tavar tamua, and he's not makabel. And he says there has to be some sort of creation of a powder, right? So grinding creates a powder that, right, gives it different properties. In general, in halacha, we also sometimes say that if you grind something up, panim chadashos ba'olakan, either it loses its identity or it's as if it's something totally new. Like, that's the whole question by gelatin. It is like the famous machlokas about kashrus of gelatin. So the question there is, if you take bones and hoofs and you grind them up and you blast them into oblivion, does it really matter where they come from? So then, in general, there's this idea that at some point, right, you've blasted into such tiny pieces, and it's so, you know, it's so processed, and it's so not edible that it just, you know, loses its identity. And then when you reform it into something new, panim chadash is ba'ol lekan. It's just something brand new, right? We see that by other cases, let's say of iser, where if you have an object, it's aser, and it gets like totally destroyed, and then you build in it brand new. So even though it involved, you know, some of the pieces of the original, at the end of the day, it's something new. And we say panim chadash is ba'ol lekan. It's big, also very important for, let's say, for monetary ownership. So at the end of the day, right, says the Rush, there's no panim chadash is ba'ol lekan here for me to say that there is something transformative. Okay. How can we explain this? Okay. So before we get into the Rishonim, like, any ideas? How can we, you know, sort of justify this opinion, which is the mainstream opinion? Yeah, Ari.
I mean, I've looked at some of the Rishonim, so
that's good.
One approach is to say that by cutting it small, you have given it some sort of additional properties that you didn't have when it was big, such as like ability to cook it. Another way of going about it is say that it has not necessarily given it more properties, but you've sort of, it was like a broad sort of vegetable that you could do many things with, and now you've basically classified it as like only a cooking vegetable. Those are like similar but slightly different, I think.
Right. So you're saying like, okay, you maybe it really is transformative, right? Just because I said, you know, I asked the question, I assumed it wasn't transformative. Mehechatesi, right? Who says that it's not
transformative? There are lots of things that
Your audio is a little funky again. Sorry.
I'm going to try it without.
Now it's better.
Okay, I'm going to try without
the Bluetooth. Now it's better.
See if it works. I don't know why the Bluetooth was giving me issues recently. Okay, I'll try that again. Right? Meaning at one point, I say, okay, if it's a powder, so I'm like, you know, the chemist will tell me that it's different. Right? But also, right, there's definitely certain things that if you don't cut them up, they're not very useful. And until you cut them up, you can suddenly use them, right? Or they're more useful. So the difference between, you know, so a big cucumber and a small cucumber or a cut up cucumber isn't so big, right? But maybe there are things that if you were to leave them whole, they wouldn't be very useful for cooking. You wouldn't be able to cook them. I mean, I don't know. Let's say like, I don't know, horseradish. I don't think anyone cooks like a whole horseradish, right? But like, let's say you take like little pieces of horseradish and you put them into your soup. That's like really good. So until you cut them up, you can't really cook it. Right? It's very hard. It's a root. It's not very cookable. You cut it into little pieces and then suddenly it's cookable, right? Stuff like that. So there, it is potentially transformative, right? You have, or what's a different way to formulate it? Because there you could still say, okay, but you might be making it easier to cook, but it doesn't, let's say, change the object, right? What would be a way to make it even more transformative on the object? Yeah, we'll get back to that. Just, you know, keep it percolating in your mind. Another way to look at it is, right, remember we said, oh, either is it the fact that you're transforming the object by making it into a powder, or there's an alternative option, which is, in general, right, it's part of the process of making bread. So you, by making it, right, into a state that's more potent for cooking, it's not necessarily that you've transformed the object physically and now it's like a whole new object, but that by transforming that, by cutting it up and now it's cookable, you now have something that you can cook. And that's part of the cooking process, right? Maybe it fulfills the same state, same slot in the processing of the food and the creation of the food that otherwise wouldn't be possible. And even though you haven't necessarily transformed the chefta, but what you're able to do with it is significant, okay? Now, let's say you made it edible, right? If you made it edible, you can argue that's more transformative of the chefta, because before it was not food, right? And now it's food. Yes. Sorry. Yeah.
You're not.
Oh, Ari, you just, you're frozen. Not in the sense of the movie, but in...
You're actually closer to that. I froze, didn't I?
You're frozen again. You're like frozen too.
Can you hear me?
Now I can hear you.
Can you hear me? Yeah?
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Okay. You're not, by cutting it small, you're not actually making it edible. You're just making it one step closer to edible, right?
Let's say it was edible.
That was... Okay, but when does cutting it small actually make something edible?
I don't know. It depends what it is, right? There are things that you can't really eat when they're whole. And when you cut it up into pieces, then the small pieces are edible. I guess I really should have thought of an example of that.
It's maybe more comfortable to eat, but
I don't know. There are things that, like, you can't really, like, horseradish. I don't know. You cannot eat, like, a horseradish or ginger. You can't eat a ginger. You ever seen a ginger? A ginger, it's like, it looks like an alien sponge fish.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, gingers are just, they're creepy looking, right? And then they cut them into those nice little slices and they pickle them and then bam, it's like, you know, it's great. So even if they don't pickle them.
Okay, but then you said they cut them into slices and then they pickle them.
Or they
cut
them into slices and then they cook them. You can have them non-pickled. They're better pickled and then they also turn pink and that's like a schmack. But
if you can eat it not pickled, then you could also eat it whole though.
No, you can't.
Right.
You can't eat one of those.
When you talk about it that.
I don't know if that's, why not?
Why not? I don't think it's possible. I don't think you can eat a ginger, right? But you can eat those little slivers of ginger, those little very, very thin slices. So you haven't ground it into a powder, right? But by cutting it really, really small, you've made it edible. I don't know. Maybe you just like ginger more.
Okay.
But that's what I think. Maybe. I think ginger's actually not a bad argument.
I've never eaten a full ginger, but.
Right. It just can't be done. Yeah, Tila.
For me, this is sounding more about a conversation about how you define the pre, as opposed to how you define ochel, because it doesn't necessarily seem to be about making it edible. It seems to be, more like what form are you defining it in, and is getting it into a usable form or the form that people want about cutting it down smaller. Because, for example, flour itself is not edible, but it's the product that people expect from wheat. Or if you go with the ginger example, like the same people that would eat raw ginger when it's small would eat raw ginger when it's large. They just expect to cook it in smaller pieces.
No, but that's the thing. I don't think that, I think the difference between grains and flour is transformative, right? Because you can do new things with it. It has new properties. The difference between, you know, a whole ginger and half a ginger is nothing. There's no difference between a whole ginger and half a ginger. Right? But if you cut into like really thin slices, then suddenly it's edible.
So you like
that, right? Is that what people want? Maybe not. Maybe people want to still pickle it, but you've made it edible now. So there's something transformative going on, right? You're not saying that's only to make it edible. Let's say you have something let's say flour that's not edible yet, but the fact that you've made it edible now is transformative. So even though you didn't grind it, the fact that you made it edible should be sufficient, or might be sufficient.
Bruno, I understand what you're saying about transformative. I'm just saying, to me, it sounds like the transformative is more about making it in the form people want to purchase, as opposed to the form people want to eat it in.
Could be. I think it's more on the. It's less on the purchase. You know, the purchasing side. I think we're already in the kitchen, so to speak. So it's already like.
Question is, really, you know, I don't think it's halfway edible. I think the point is that it's transformative. It needs to,
full grade, you know, grinding into a powder. It's significant enough. It's transformative enough that we'll count it as tochein, even though you didn't actually grind it. That's my gisha. Okay. One second, I'm just going to make sure that it stays on here. So I'm make sure. Great. Okay. All right, so let's continue. Let's actually see it in the Makaros, and then we can continue to argue. If we look at, so what do we have? So we have basically two main approaches to explaining what's going on, and then there's be a third, obviously. But the first approach is to say, yes, you right. The Rush said, doesn't count. There's no powdering, doesn't, no grinding, no trina. The Rambam says, Hatolda, hi hamalacha hadome la'av, me'ilu ha'avos, keitzad, hamechate chaseyerek ma'at ma'at. I use it as the example of a tolda, which is interesting, right? He considers it a tolda. Levashla, hareza chayiv shizu malacha hamalacha toldas trina. Shahatochin lokeach guf echad, umechalko legufim harbe, v'chol ha'osa davar hadome lezeh, hareza toldas tochin. V'chin halokeach lashon shal mataches, v'shafos okadeh likach me'afar, kidach shosim tzorfei azav, hareza told us tchina. So taking one thing, right, lokech guf echad umechalko the gufim harbe, that's going to be tochein, right, as a, let's say, as a tolda, because the av is grinding into a powder. If you're not actually grinding a powder, you're just making it into small pieces, that's going to be a tolda. Okay, so that's the Magi Mishnah. B'she'in sham ele k'tzas dim, why is it only a tolda? Why is it not the av? Because only k'tzas dimyon, kigon mechad echas a yerek, she'ino dome le t'china, rak beha'asos miguf echad gufim rabim, af opi sheha t'china mishane guf harishon legam, right? Actual t'china is transformative. It totally changes the object. Ve'in hachituch kein zuhia zuhal tolda, right? But the tolda doesn't transform it entirely, right? I guess it sounds like it only transforms it partially. And therefore, the cutting it into different pieces, if it's transformative, but not fully transformative, that's only a tolda, right? So he's pointing out that there is, right, it has to be transformative. Tchina is where you totally transform it and its properties. And mechatech dak dak is only a tolda because it's only partially transformative. What does the Rambam, how does the Rambam define it? Okay, so I'd just like to highlight the issue, right? One option, say what the Rush said, tochen has to be making a powder. It's transformative. There's a qualitative change, right? And therefore, it's a malacha. So far, so good, right? Let's say, what about dak dak? What about cutting into little pieces? So is the difference, is what the Magen Mishnah is saying, that it's a quantitative change and that's also going to count as a malacha? Or is he saying that there is a transformation, right? Just not as drastic, right? So if you look at the Rambam emphasizes what is chodech dak dak, right? It's kitzar mechatech esiach ma'amad levashlo, right? Harezu chayiv shezu melech has told us tchina, shatochin leguf, lokech guf echor mechalko legufim harbe, echolos edom lezeru, it's a told us tochin, right? But it's the fact that you are cutting it dak dak in order to cook it. And I'm also in Chaf Aleph. Amechatech zerach dak dak kidei levashlo hareza told us tochin mechayiv. He keeps emphasizing that it enables cooking, right? Much like grinding the flour enables you to then cook it, right? Says the Kesef Mishnah, and there's a saying, right? Even if it's nechalos kumin shen chayos, even if it's something that's already edible, imchatech so dak dak lebishul aser. If you cut it into small pieces in order to cook it, that's going to be part of tochin. So what's the emphasis, says the Kesef Mishnah? It's not that you're making it edible, right? Hidafka says it's not that, which is important, right? Because now we're thinking, wait a second, right? Maybe it's creating edibility. But it's saying it's the preparation for bishul, the fact that it enables bishul, right? As a precursor to bishul, that's what makes something tochin, right? On the other hand, the Ramach is late, one of the Rishonim, he comments on the Rambam. He says, no, this is only true on something that you could not eat otherwise. Right? And it sounds like he also thinks that you actually need both. You need to be cooking it, and you need to be, it needs to be inedible the way it is. Right? So he says, at the end of the day, if it's already edible, it's already edible, right? So you haven't transformed it. Okay, so the Rambam emphasized Africa, it's about cooking. The Ramach says, no, it's not about cooking, right? It's about cooking something that is inedible, right? And because the Ritva also, right, Pirshi, Dafka Baha, She'ino Ochel Kamo Shu Chai. On the other hand, the Nilchas Laran, Tamar of the Ra, says B'Shem the Ra, Kasav HaRa, the Dafka Silka Shu Mechusra Hechsher Acher Dahinu Beshel. Ula Puke Pas, where Chodavar HaRoi Lachila, below mechutzar hechsher, the mutar b'achila ke'ochel defras. He says, if something's fundamentally right, it's fundamentally complete, right? It's the product as you want at the end of the day, as Tehila was arguing earlier. So then, there's no din of tochen. Right? There's only tochen when it's an unfinished product, when it's, right, it's mechutzar hechsher, it's lacking something, right? Now, he thinks that the finished product is also has to be edible, but his emphasis is dafka on it's already absolutely complete. And now you are completing it, right? dafka when it's mechusar hechsher, and now you need to both cut it and cook it in order to make it food, then this is an important process. But if it's already basically there, if it's already almost complete, then it's not mechusar hechsher, so then cutting it doesn't count. So what you have is basically three options of how to understand the idea of cutting it into very small pieces, right? One, it's a qualitative transformation into food, right? That's the idea that it has to be something that's not edible, that you're making edible. Or it's the preparation for cooking, what the Rambam emphasized, of you're cutting it all into small pieces so that you can now cook it. Or that it's inedible and it needs cooking, and it's mechusar hechsher, and it's part of the manufacturing process. It's part of making it, as Tila was arguing, into the finished product, right? So you actually see three different options, shitos, and explain this idea of dak-dak. Either the transformation to food, the preparation for bishul, or part of the cooking process, or the idea that you're finishing, you're creating the mechusar, ino mechusar hechsher acher, and now this is mechusar hechsher acher, and you're giving it that extra final tikkun. Okay, right? We saw those. The idea that it's only about transforming into powders was the Rash, Rabbi Yochanan, the Rash. Making it edible is the Ramach and the Ritva. The Rambam and the Chumash think it's about the cooking process, and the Ra'ah thinks it's about the final manufacturing process. Okay. Now, the Shulchan Aruch, though, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, Hamachat Techeyach Dak Dak, Chayiv Mishim Tochim, says the Ramah, V'hu Hadin Da'asur Lachloch Gros V'charuvim V'fnei Azakenim. And that includes cutting things in, you know, for old people to eat. Okay, just like an elderly person, they don't have, you know, they don't have any teeth anymore, so you have to cut the food very small. So the Ramah says, the Mechaber says, cutting things into very small pieces is tochein. The Ramah says, cutting small things into small pieces for people who can't eat them the way they are. Right? Notice that difference. So Mishnah Berurah zooms in on that. He says, "Oh, hamachat dechayerek, afilu biyirakos sheroy laochlan chayin gamkein tzavar l'diyish shchina baochlan." So it sounds like from the mechaber that even if it's already edible, there's still a problem of tochein, right? And says in the Ramah says, "Lefnei azakenim sheim yichulin l'laso im lo yichat chenu dak dak." Right? Only if it's for someone who couldn't eat it otherwise. Right, so the way the Mishnah Berurah presents it, the Shulchan Aruch says any cutting it into small pieces is going to be a problem, right? Even though it's already edible, and the Ramah thinks it's only if you're cutting it for someone who otherwise could not eat it. So for them, subjectively, you're transforming it into food. Right? Then looks at the Be'er Halacha says Lefnei Azakenim. Ein b'magen Avram shekasav d'mashma d'lefnei mishi yachol le'laso kach shari. If you were to cut it into small pieces for someone who could eat it already, right, a regular person, it would be totally fine because for them you haven't transformed it into food; it's very edible. Right, they can eat the whole cucumber. Right, ulo anias daiti says the Mishnah Berurah in devar of machrochen. I don't think that's so obvious. I don't think so. Because generally you cut into small pieces for a little kid or for an elderly person who has trouble with their teeth. But fundamentally, says the Be'er Halacha, if you cut it into small pieces, you're still chayev. Now, right, according to that, he's saying basically across the board, anyone, right? Anytime you cut something into very small pieces, you're chayev. So you basically end up with two extremes, right? You have the Rush, and who says, if you're not making it into a powder, there's no iser tchina, right? The alternative is also, if we looked in the Makoros, the Rajba also sounds that way. Right? The Rajba says that it's mutter because you're doing it samach la'achila, but he doesn't sound like he thinks that there's a heter of the fact that it's already edible, right? So the Mishnah Berurah and the Shiraj, but basically say, anytime you cut something into very small pieces, it's tochen, right? Which is very good. I think the argument is going to be quantitative, right? At the end of the day, you made from the one, the many, right? And by taking guf echad and making it into many pieces, that's already, that's tochen. Even if it's not preparation for bishul, and even if it's not making it edible, right? Which just sounds like his argument is that by taking one object and making it into many smaller objects, that's the act of bishul. That's the mice of bishul. Okay. Right? Well, the Magen Avraham thinks that the Shulchan Aruch only means it's making it edible. The Chiddush is that what? The Ritva thought that it has to make it objectively edible, right? For the Shulchan Aruch, according to the Magen Avraham's understanding, it's even subjectively edibility is still sufficient, right? So this person who you're cutting it for can't eat it unless you cut it. That counts as making it edible. That is sufficiently transformative that it counts as tochen. Now, how big is dak dak going to be? Right? Now, what do you think in terms of, in general, how big should dak dak be? How small? How would you define it? What would you like think is like the key issue or key issues? It's hard, right? Like, yeah, all right. Oh, that's like a very long pause. Can you hear me? All right. Yeah. No? Can everyone else hear me?
Governor Andrew Cuomo worries that, like those places that have reopened,
okay,
New York, where coronavirus could quickly come back here. States.
Yeah, okay, I'm here now.
I'm actually very happy because I keep having these audio issues and now like you're the one having it, so it's fine by me.
As soon as I want to talk every time. So I would say small enough for Doc Doc is, I could see it like maybe for the Rambam, it has to be small enough that it would actually make a difference to be easier to cook. Like if it's not small enough that it's actually going to improve the cooking, then it wouldn't be considered small enough. And also maybe something that like you can no longer say that it's just like a cucumber anymore. You have to say like, oh, those are like cucumber cubes or something. Like it has a different name maybe when you describe it. I don't know exactly. Like it's hard to draw the line there anyways, but.
Right, very good. Exactly. Right? If you think it's about cooking, so say, okay, it depends on, right, how people cook, you know, whether it's useful for cooking, whether it impacts the cooking from what you normally would do, right? Definitely would be noted towards like a more, you know, right, practical approach, like what type, you know, how does it affect the cooking? If it's a question of the physical transformation, right, we might need to say that, oh, you know, really it has a new name. It's just different. Like we'll call it something different. It has to be like really tiny. If I think that's just like objectively, oh, making it into really small pieces is token, so it might have to be like really, really small. They have to be like not individually identifiable anymore. You have to like not be able to see the individual ones without like really looking hard, something like that. Exactly, right? I think it would very much be a nafkamina of how we define, how do we find the idea of dak dak in the first place, right? So if we look at the, so the halacha says, one option, right? You cut them into such tiny pieces that it really is reminiscent of having ground it, right? So you have to say like you cut them into small pieces, but the pieces are so small. You know, like you ever see like Israelis when they make Israeli salad? Sometimes they cut it into like these tiny, 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 tiny pieces, like microscopic. It's basically a liquid. It's like applesauce, basically. So then it's like you understand, like, oh, wow, that's like dak dak. That's like ke'im trina, right? Like it almost acts as a fluid, right? Okay, that's one option. But then he says, oh, but le'inyan heter, right? Shiyasa chatichos gdolos b'miktas. He says, oh, but like, I'm not sure if I'm willing to be samech on that l'maisa. And then he goes back and says, really what you should do, if you really want to be safe, we should just make them somewhat bigger than normally. Right? Which is a different definition. Because what are we saying then? Midolos b'miktas is saying that you need to make them bigger than what you usually do. Bigger than what's normal. Right? So if I usually cut salad as like in small pieces, but not like microscopic, then I have to make it bigger. If I usually cut relatively big pieces, I still need to make it a little bit bigger than that, right? There, what I'm arguing, saying is, oh, well, you know, whatever you normally do, you have to do a little bigger, implies that it's much less about, oh, it turned it into like a powder, or it turned it into tiny pieces, but that any cutting it into small pieces or into pieces could be an issue, right? Now, the Mincha Shlomo says, Okay, this again gets to the idea of the finished product. He says, no, what really matters, what really defines it, is whether you could swallow it without having to chew it. Why? Because then it's already in the final finished state of exactly how small you're going to use it. You're not ever going to make it smaller, which is bringing us around again to Tila's point. It's like, oh, what if it's really about the defining what the finished, right, the final, you know, state of the object is supposed to be. So when it comes to kindling, says the Mincha Shlomo, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, if you're going to light it on fire, so it needs to be like this then, right? If you're going to inhale the Israeli salad and treat it as like applesauce and eat it with a spoon and, right, you're not going to chew it, you're just going to swallow it because it's like a puree. So it really needs to be like a puree, right? It has to be really small, and then you don't even need to chew it anymore with your teeth, right? There, the idea there is like, it's a totally finished product, right? Shiru'uyum latafkidam yad b'li shum t'china. And hol v'chatichos hein adayin g'dolos v'zkukim l'shinayim t'ochnos, you still are not going to be considered to have done dak-dak, right? So you have really three separate options, right? One is to say, oh, it's, you know, it has to be bigger than what's normal, has to be bigger than what you normally do it. The other is to say, oh, as long as you're making like these really tiny pieces that are like similar to grinding, that's fine. And then Mechashama says, actually, it depends on each one, right? It depends on whether it's in its absolute final state or whether it's still going to get smaller. Okay, and connecting them back to our other shittos, if it's about hachana l'bishul, so then the heter would be make it bigger than what you normally do, which is exactly what the Chazon Ish tells you to do. L'maisa says if it's about getting ready for bishul, right? This is normally what we do to this object in order to prepare for bishul and for the next stage. So it's part of the, you know, the normal activities of cooking. So okay, so you have to do is make like a shinoi by making it bigger. If it's about the very fact that you're making it into tiny pieces, right? Making tiny pieces is tochein because it's similar quantitatively to grinding. So then, dak-dak is going to be very, very, very small. And the Gros Moshe says, okay, so what do you do? You just don't make it dak-dak, just make it dak, right? Make it very small, but not very, very, very small, right? And if the question is about the gemar malacha as ochel, right? Like we saw in the Ra'ah, right? So then, says Shlomo Zalman, maybe the heter is just if you need any more trina, right? You know, by chewing it, then it's not in its final state. Okay. Now, this is a big fight between the Chazon Ish and Rav Moshe Feinstein. What about mashing a banana? Okay, it's like a huge Hilchos Shabbos fight. Can you mash a banana for a kid? All right, why yes, why no? Logically speaking, what would... Right, why would you, like, just like from a very gut's perspective, why yes, why no? And then, like, what like formal logic would be behind that? Yeah, Rachel.
I would say why it wouldn't be is because the consistency of the banana is kind of squishing itself. So by squishing it, you're not really changing the state, like creating something new. But I think you can very easily argue the opposite and say that by squishing the banana, it was like in a form. And then just because the consistency is the same, it's you still transformed it, but when you squished it.
Yeah, so then if you made it more edible, because you're focusing on the edibility aspect, right?
Edibility.
It's like already mushy. Bananas are generally kind of mushy. So they're like, it's not really so transformative to squish it. Okay. if you are putting it in front of like a little kid, though, right, maybe the added squishability might matter, might not. Right. Okay, what else can you say? Yaakov? Raise your hand.
Presumably, according to our film, the whole point of mashing it, presumably, for the kid can't really eat it the way it was, and mashing it, making it to its final form, the kid can just swallow it whole.
Very good, right? Also, if it's about the, you know, making it to the final form, if this really does that trick, so maybe it counts. What's like the strong argument against that would just say like, no way? How can you say like, no way, buddy? Like, that's not tochein. It's like a very convincing argument. What you guys have convincingly argued.
There's no chopping.
There's no?
There's no chopping involved. You'd never take out a knife.
Right. And there's no pieces, right? You never made like a bunch of little pieces. The whole idea of tochein is you take the stuff and you grind it up and then you have like this powder, right? If you cut it up dak-dak, right? What did the Rambam say? The Rambam said you have guf echad and now you transformed it into lots and lots of individual, right? Smaller pieces. If you mush a banana, there are no smaller pieces, right? You had a big banana that was, let's say, three-dimensional. Now you have a very large two-dimensional banana, right? You flatten the banana, right? You know, it's like squish. It's like flattening the curve. You might have flattened the curve, right? But at the end of the day, you know, it's like, that doesn't mean that there's no corona. It just means like your chart looks nicer, right? So there's a banana still. There's lots of banana going around. It's just like, it's flatter banana, right? You didn't make lots of little pieces, right? You didn't make it into lots of like little small bananas. It's still one banana that's just now flat, right? So that's actually like the core point of Moshe Feinstein, which is geshmak, because what did we say a second? Oh, we'll see, go back in a second. That's what he said a moment ago. The whole point is that you make little pieces, right? After nish'ar rachaticha achas, ach shenase rach mod. Yeah, it's very soft, but at the end of the day, it's still one piece, right? He says, I don't, that makes no sense, right? It doesn't make any sense. Why on earth would you think that squishing something flat, right, even if it makes it more edible, is going to count as tochin? Right? Now, what we said over here, right, was that vigorous motion in general falls under the shita of, I see it of that when it comes to dak-dak, he defines dak-dak as making it very, very small, right, because it's domet to tochen of making a powder, and therefore the heter is to make it not so tiny, right? If you think that it's all about, oh, the similarity to tochen of making it a powder, if you make them really, really small, then it's as if you ground it up quantitatively, then, right, then are you going to have tochein by squishing it? Of course not, because there are no little pieces, right? And that's exactly what you have over here, right? The Igros Moshe is consistent, and he says, the definition of tochein, dak-dak, is that you're making tiny little pieces just like grinding, and therefore the pieces need to be really small, right? The het there is to make them not so small, and if you squish a banana, then you didn't make it so small, so there's no tochein. Sorry, you never made little tiny pieces because just one big banana flat, right? On the other hand, the Chazon Ish happens to say that the heter for dak-dak is making it a little bit bigger than normal, right? Because then you haven't completed the hachana of the food, right? You haven't completed the preparation of the food for bishul, for achila, right? And therefore, the same thing by banana, if you made it into its final state, and sorry, not the final state, if you made it completely edible now. So you have completed your hachana, right? You have prepared it and made it edible. You have made it ready for bishul. And just gishmak is that, right? We said Rosh Hashanah thought that it was about preparing the final product, right? If it doesn't need any more tchina ayideh ashinayim, so he says, the Shmir HaShabbos says in the name of Rosh Hashanah that squishing the banana is a problem, right? Because it's no longer mechusar heksher, right? So it actually works out beautifully that everyone fits with their overall shita on what's the isser in Dak Dak. Okay. Should we try to hop in Tochin Achar Tochin? Here's the question, right? If we try to hop in Tochin Achar Tochin, then we can already move on to Lash and try to hop in a few more malachos. And if we don't, then we can do it on one. Okay, so Tochin Achar Tochin. Let's say you already did Tochin, right? And now you're doing it again. So is there A, Tochin Achar Tochin, and B, you know, how would you define that? So the Ran brings down two shvitos. Amar of Papa, hi man, deparis silka, paris dak dak. Shurim l'shuli akadera. Kasev ha-rashba, b'tshuva, didav k'mechatchem k'dei lo'achlan l'machar, or l'bo b'yom, l'achasha, halav hachi shari. But if you're going to eat it right away, right, this is the Rashba sheet in general, that la'alter la'achila is always matir. L'fikach ha-heter, l'fahar titei lechem, t'anikolum la'tik l'fnehem la'alter. You let her take bread and crumble it into breadcrumbs and give it to ducks, okay, or chickens. That's only if you're doing the altar, says the Rashba. So the Rashba, the Mishnah says you're allowed to take bread, grind it up, and feed it to your ducks, to your chickens. Right? And the Rashba says the reason why is because it's lachila altar, and in general we have this heter that if you do a malacha lachila altar, then it's not really a malacha, right? It's the odder argument. The Smag says the reason why it's mutter is because in tchina achar tchina, you already ground the flour, then you cooked it into bread, right? But since the materials have already undergone grinding, there's no grinding after grinding, right? The grinding is sort of like a one, you know, one shot. You get one shot at it. So the question is why? Okay, so the Rashba says it doesn't exist. It's not a problem, right? You have bread. If you grind it up and crunch it into little tiny pieces, that's going to be tochin again. But the Smag says that in tochin achar tochin. So why? So the Gra, when he's commenting on the Shulchan Aruch on this issue, so he says, "V'hu adin l'chol malachos." The Tosefta says that molin as amalo, and you could be tochin as atachon, basically, and you can be ofed the mavushal, because at the end of the day, if you already did a malacha, right, there's no double jeopardy, right. You know, once you do a malacha, you can't do it again. Right? And basically, Tosefta, Molan al Molo Motzinas Mutzava Ofinasa Afu Mavashanas Mavoshal, right? We know in Bishal Achar Bishal. And the reason why is because once you did Bishal, like, it's already Mavoshal. And now it's like two, it doesn't count if you do it again. What would be enough? Okay, Chazanish says, Had the in Trina Bepas, Hainushin Tochin Ella Bahafrada Shal Chibur Tiv'i. It only counts as a tochin if you're doing tochin to a natural connection. Okay? It's only if the connection between the molecules, basically, is natural that tochin matters. But if you do tochin on something which is not naturally connected, then if it's like a man-made, if it's a hafradash al chibur b'nei adam, ino b'chalal tochin. Then it's not a part of tochin. It doesn't actually count. Okay? So tochin, by definition, says the Chazanish, is the separation of the molecular bonds that are formed naturally. If they're man-made, then there's no tochin. Afilu b'chibur davar shelo nitcha me'olam shelo ba la'olam mefurad. And he says, what's the nafkamina? Even if you had something which was never ground and it was put together, you know, by man, that would not be tochin. So, right, it's in tochin achar tochin, but not because fundamentally you can't have tochin achar tochin. According to the Gra, if you never did tochin yet, then there'd be tochin achar tochin, there'd be tochin, right? Even if it came into the world as little pieces and then you glued it all together, right? The Chazanish says, no, it's about the question of whether or not it's a natural connection or a not natural connection, or a man-made connection. The Egle Tal actually says, right, going back to our general connection of like, oh, it's like part of this process of taking the, you know, things that grow in the ground and like bringing them and making them into products that you can consume. So the Egle Tal says it's actually just like Ma'amer only applies when something is in its, right, still in its state of nature, Tochin also only applies to things that like you just, you know, got out of nature. So once you grind it up, it's no longer considered gidulei karka, and it loses that connection back to like to the earth and to nature. And then nemila, there's no more tochin because tochin is only on things that grow from the ground. And once you ground it up, it's not something that grew from the ground anymore. It's already parim chadashas. It no longer has that connection back to its, you know, to having been grown in the ground. Okay, what's the nafkamina between these? Right. So one is salt. Okay, says the Shulchan Aruch, in kochemelch b'madoshal itz, aval merasi kubiyad shal sakin ubeitz parud ve'ino choshesh, v'davka melech hagas, aval melech shahaya dak mitchila, v'nitpasha v'nasa ptitin, mutu v'chatru b'sakin kamo shachot echapas. The Rama says that if you have salt that was, right, very fine salt, and then you cooked it, right, basically there are two ways to get salt. You can mine salt out of, like, you know, the ground. There are places where you just have salt mines, and it's, right, just naturally occurring. Or you could take salt water and cook it, okay? So there, what you're doing is you're taking, like, tiny pieces of salt, and you're cooking them to get it all to join together. So the, says the Rama, when it comes to the salt that you cook together, and you, natural by man, has been made into a block, there's no din of tochin, right? Which is exactly what the Chazon Ish said, right? In the Shulchan, another case, right? Let's say you have tit bigdol. What about a clod of dirt, of mud that hardened? Okay, so there, the Shulchan Aruch says tit shalagabi bim fashol bim mifneim v'lo mochta milsa lachzuziyev kamalabin avalo b'chot zedami milabin megarim b'tziporen v'yesh mefarshim hanimili lach. That's only when the dirt is still wet. Aval yaveish aser dehevi tochin. So the Shulchan Aruch says, you can't grind, if you have like dirt that's dried onto your shirt, if you were to crunch it up to get it off, that would be tochin. So Rabbi Eger asks, wait a second, the chori yesh ladun, given that mechila haya mefurar, right, dirt comes as little tiny, particles of dirt, ayidei yavshut nivdiku v'nasa mechubar, and only because they dried out did it become like one solid, in trina chatrina. How can you answer that? What's he assuming? So here's the question, right? Did this mud ever undergo trina? Right? Has it been there, done that? Right? So, no, right? This mud has never been ground up before. So there's no been there, done that argument. Right? Is there, this should be edited. Right? Is it, like, still considered, like, connected to, you know, like, a gidulei karka? Yeah, I think so. Right? Is it, like, a chibur tiv'i? Right? Maybe, maybe yes. Right? Maybe that's a chibur tibi. It's mud. It dried. Right? And now you have this solid glump that is naturally occurring. Right? So, that's like, if you're in the been there, done that camp, so if it's actually already been ground up. So if you have salt, let's say, what if the salt case? In the salt case, the small salt, right, that congealed, right, by through cooking, has that ever been ground? No. So there's no been there, done that argument, right? So according to the Gra, you would say yesh, right? There's no trina, so there's no reason to say in trina achar trina, right? If you have a gush afar, so you have to sort of decide whether we think that has it ever been ground up. It depends whether we think the fact that naturally it was in tiny pieces, does that count? Or does it have had to actually have undergone the malacha? And on the other hand, if you think it's in trina el b'chibur tiv'i, like the Chazon Ish, so then only if it was, right, if it was tiv'i, but if it's not tiv'i, such as the small salt that that you cook in order to bring together, that's not going to be tochin. But if it's a gush afar, right, that naturally turned into a solid clump. So it's a natural connection, and there's a chibur tibi. Okay, last sort of nafkamina, but not least, is what about chocolate? Okay, it's a huge discussion about like a chocolate bar. If you grind up, if you want to like shave off little shavings of a chocolate bar, is that okay? Why? Because the chocolate bar, on the one hand, right, it's been ground up and cooked. On the other hand, it's been ground up and then cooked into one solid bar again. So is it a chibur tiv'i? Definitely not. So according to Chazanish, it should be fine. If it's a question of whether or not the you know, yesh tchina achar tchina, so it's actually a much more interesting question. Because if we say, right, bishel, yesh bishel achar bishel or ein bishel achar bishel, we hold ein bishel achar bishel, right? Except, how ironclad a rule is that?
If it's davar lach, then you don't hold that.
Exactly, right? There's a big machlokas about bishel achar bishel b'davar lach. Right, so the Rama seems to think that
there's like awesome. A fiat. Yeah, or
right, yeah, and yesh afia achar bishel or bishel achar afia, right? At some point, if you think it's about no backs, right, like no double jeopardy, because you've already been there, done that, so it doesn't, it's not meaningful to do it again. Then, if it becomes meaningful to do again, or if you can somehow like reverse the time and like undo what you did, can you do it again? Like by davar lach, right, it cools down, and then halach lo labishu lo, according to some opinions, right, it doesn't really, it's not significant that you cooked it anymore, because, right, by liquids, cooking means making it hot, now it's not hot, so now you're cooling it down, and you're going to cook it again, so you're cooking it all over again, right, so yes, bishal achar bishal b'davar lach, according to the Shulchan Aruch, right, so maybe the same thing could be true by tochin. If you hold it the Chazon Ish, right, then it doesn't make sense, because if it's about, it's a natural connection, chibur tivi, if it's about it being in its natural state and you're grinding it up, then once you did that, it's no longer in its natural state. So who cares that now it's like a solid block again? Okay? So that's just like another interesting afkamina. I think we passed in that you can grind it up. But, right, the chocolate bar, on the one hand, it's totally solid. It's totally like returned to its natural state. You know, there's no like real presence of the fact that it was once ground up, right? They grind it up so that they can mix in all sorts of other things and then re-solidify it. But on the other hand, it really did undergo tchina, and this is a man-made chocolate bar. I guess that's also another interesting nafkamina of that issue.